You can name these episodes. Afternoon, Evening, Fourth Watch, I Am, Peter's Request, Peter Walking on the Water, and Peter and Jesus on the Water and in the Boat. If you visualize these as scenes and notice the beginnings of each of the episodes, this is an easy story to learn and to remember. So I would suggest, you know, that just to underline or, you know, make a mental note of the beginnings of the episodes. So immediately made the disciples get in the boat when evening came at the fourth watch of the night. Immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart," and so on. This story flows very naturally and is very dramatic and therefore easy to remember. In terms of verbal threads, most of them are internal within the episode. So in the fourth watch episode, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, cried out in fear. And then in the next episode, at the end of that, they cried out in fear. And at the end of the next episode, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." It's actually the same word in Greek. They cried out, "Afraid," and Jesus said, "Don't be afraid." But it's very difficult to translate that in English. Peter's request, "Command me to come to you," and Jesus says, "Come." So these verbal threads help to link those episodes together, but they are not a major factor in being able to remember the story in the way that sometimes the verbal threads are very helpful. The setting of each of these episodes is very different in tone. So the beginning of the story is after Jesus had been teaching most of the day, by implication, and that the implication is that he was tired. So immediately he made the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds, and then after he dismissed the crowds. So the tone of this is of ending a day of teaching and of his wanting to get off by himself. The next episode begins with, you know, evening. So when it was evening, he was there alone on the land. The disciples by now were way out on the sea. So if you make that contrast between Jesus there alone and the disciples on the sea, both in gestures and in your visual picture in your mind, then that will come through. The fourth watch of the night was between 3 and 6 in the morning. So the watches were 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, and 3 to 6. So there were four watches during the night, the evening watch, and so on. This was the morning watch, the darkest part of the night. The implication is then that Jesus left them out on the sea all night long and only came to them at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. So at the fourth watch then. So to convey some of the, you know, the nighttime at the fourth watch, doesn't really matter what the content of it is. It's the tone that conveys this being a time of potential terror. So, you know, if you were doing this as Jaws or something, it'd be da-dum, da-dum, da-da-dum. And here comes Jesus, the fourth watch of the night. And that's what they thought. They thought that it was a ghost. And so to create some degree of the atmosphere of terror is fine, so that it then supports their being terrified and saying, you know, "It's a ghost!" The narrative comment that ends this is a comment from the storyteller directly to the audience. Now, they cried out from fear, so that's a direct connection to make sure that the audience gets it, that they were really afraid. The tone of Jesus' words is determined by the content of his statement. In the NRSV, it is translated, It is I. The words in Greek are ego eimi. They are the same words as the Septuagint translation of the Hebrew of the story of Moses at the burning bush and of God speaking to Moses and saying, I am. My name is ego eimi. And so when Jesus says these words, ego eimi, they resonate with the words of God to Moses, describing his name. It is a word of comfort. Take heart, but the word I am is really the only way that this can be conveyed in a way that then conveys this connection between Jesus here standing on the water, like God, with the powers of chaos under his feet, and of him then being in control of the powers of the waves. What is conveyed then in the episode of Peter asking him, clearly the reason that one of the motives for Peter's response is to confirm whether or not it's Jesus. So if it is you, which he's still not sure about, command me to come to you on the water. Tell me to come to you. So Jesus' response is then one of, you know, come on, or come, do it. So Peter does it. Now, this episode is all from Peter's point of view. He got out of the boat. He came to Jesus walking on the water. And so the tone of this is Peter's experience of, I'm doing this. I'm walking on the water. But when he sees the wind, which is from his point of view, when he saw the wind, he was afraid. So it first describes what he saw and then his interior response. And he begins to sink and cries out, Lord, save me. The central thing in this story is Jesus' tone when he speaks. Usually this is told as Jesus as the judge. Oh, and it's always an English judge. Oh, man of little faith, why did you doubt? It's kind of a pompous ass response to, you know, Peter. That is not the tone of what is going on here. That's a radical misinterpretation of what's happening. What's happening is that Jesus is inviting Peter to think about why did he lose it. It's the words of a coach after an athlete has tried something very difficult and has failed. And so it's thinking about, all right, now what happened? Why did you lose it? Why did you lose your focus? You know, and so the picture of what needs to be conveyed here is of Peter and Jesus standing there on the sea, Jesus holding him up and inviting him to think, you know, of naming him, all right, man of little faith. Now, why? Why did you doubt? Why did you lose it? That's the tone of this. So it is a supportive presence inviting Peter to think about why he lost his focus looking at Jesus, started paying attention to the wind, and then began to sink. The end of the story is then an exclamation of adoration, of wonder, of surprise, of naming him. Worship doesn't have quite the tone that we would mean by that. It means that we looked up to him, that they admired him, that they were astonished at him and said, man, you really are the Son of God. You know, it would be like teammates in a game after the great shot saying, ah, that was great. You're really a terrific shot, or something like that. Whatever it is their words of admiration and of recognition of Jesus' unique status and abilities. Wonderful story.